Good morning. So, as Jamie said, my name is Phil Davies. I'm the leader of the worldwide sales and marketing team here at Vicor. And for the next 20 or 30 minutes or so, I'd like to share with you an update on our corporate strategy, which has a number of very exciting elements to it. We are now seeing a big shift in how power is distributed and delivered in a number of high growth markets. This dislocation is creating an unprecedented opportunity, a growth opportunity for Vicor, and we are aimed squarely at the $8 billion available market opportunity that we see. So what is the dislocation? Well, it's with the power distribution networks, or PDNs as they are commonly referred to. Power system engineers have to carefully plan and lay out these networks to maximize performance and efficiency. So how engineers design their power distribution networks is changing rapidly due to increasing load power caused by system performance and feature demands. This is everywhere that we're seeing this in the market now. PDNs that have been around for many years, like 12-volt distribution, just cannot keep up with the increased power demands. As the power goes up, the current running through the PDN has to go up. There's a very simple equation at the bottom of the slide. I promise to keep the technical stuff to a minimum, but that's the equation. So if the power goes up, you keep the voltage the same, the current's got to go up. That equation has to balance. Okay, that's a very simple view of it. And so what engineers are doing are looking to move the voltage higher such that they can keep the current within a controlled level. Bringing this high voltage closer to the load is also very, very important. And this is where having a very, very dense power solution comes into play. And as you know, Vicor has a leadership position in density and also efficiency in the marketplace. So let's talk about some of the markets, and let's begin with a market that I know the majority of you are looking at. It's a very exciting and rapidly growing data center market. So the key message I want to give to all of you here is that 48 volts is finally happening. The addition of high performance compute and artificial intelligence to the data center is driving this change, and it's happening very rapidly. And for all the reasons I talked about earlier with the PDN network and the stresses on the PDN network, we are seeing a lot of things happening both on the front ends of the power delivery, which you can see on the left-hand side of the slide. You either have a three-phase AC input or you have a high-voltage DC input. And then on the right-hand side, you can see how the market is bifurcated in terms of the rack power that is now being distributed within data centers. The top right, really high performance data centers, lots of AI. And the bottom right is really more of a data center to do with cloud computing, but even in those data centers, AI is now being added, okay? And so for Vicor, we see on the left-hand side, the front-end power delivery, we see an opportunity for about $2 billion of market. On the right-hand side, at the point of load, we see another $2 billion of available market for us. So within this marketplace, we are currently targeting a $4 billion market opportunity. The products that we are bringing to market, you can see here. On the left-hand side, these are the front-end products. At the top left, you can see our three-phase AC products, and I'll talk about these a little bit in more detail a little bit later. The bottom left is our bus converter technology that we have brought to market for the 380-volt high-performance computing distribution marketplace. On the right-hand side, we have many products that we are now bringing forward to power from 48 volts to the point of load. And I'll go into this in more detail as we move forward through the slide deck. So as you can see here, Vicor is moving to market with a full solution from, as we say, the wall plug to the point of load. And we have a number of customers now that are taking full advantage of this, that we are working with on front-end systems and point-of-load systems. Okay, so that's becoming more and more common as we move into the market with very dense front-ends. The other thing that's happening is that not every single data center customer wants to immediately move to 48-volt distribution in their rack. But they want to integrate AI capability in their data center. Now, fortunately, Vicor has a great share of the 48-volt AI, GPU, and ASIC market. And those systems need a 48-volt input. So you solve that problem by using this little chip, this power module from Vicor called the NBM, to convert from 12 volts to 48 volts to bring in those AI accelerator products. Okay, so this is happening right now with a number of big hyperscalers. A number of these hyperscalers still have 12-volt infrastructure. So bringing in AI from NVIDIA, from other GPU and ASIC companies, requires this type of a chip. And we have significant market share with the 12 to 48-volt opportunity that's happening out there right now. On the right-hand side here, you can see the typical systems. You can see a HGX box from NVIDIA. In the middle, and I'll talk about that in more detail, is the Open Compute Accelerator module that just got launched. And the bottom is the NVIDIA SXM technology. The SXM card is being copied by many, many companies, and that's what the Open Compute product is in the center there. I'll talk about that a little bit more. So, why are the AI processor companies choosing Vicor over other competitive solutions? Let's take a look at a very simple reason that creates a very complex and difficult problem to solve. Just take a look at the graph of how processor current has grown in recent years. We're now approaching 1,500 amps. We're even talking to customers who want to push 2,000 amps through their processors. And as the process nodes move down to 7 nanometer and even 5 nanometer, which is happening at, you know, many, many companies now, the voltage needed for those processors is dropping, which is another challenge and another problem to solve in going from 48 volts now down to 0.5, 0.4 volts. It's not an easy problem, but Vicor has the solutions, again, to this. So let's take a look at this in a little bit of an easier way. So here's two approaches to driving power, driving current into a, let's call it an XPU, but it's really an AI processor. On the left-hand side, you see a conventional way of doing it. It's a multi-phase, it's called a multi-phase buck regulator, and it's basically what all of our competition is doing. Okay. And as you can see there, we call this the last inch, and it's the last inch of pain for a power systems engineer on a printed circuit board and developing these types of AI systems. You can see there that typically you'll get about 400 microohms of resistance in that PDN. Now, 400 microohms doesn't seem like very much, right? It's 10 to the minus 6, so that's pretty small. But I'll show you in a minute what that actually means. On the right-hand side, you'll see what Vicor has done to overcome that 400 microohm PDN, and we call it lateral power delivery. We had one of our leading customers come to us and say, can you cut the 400 microohms by an order of magnitude? And we took on that challenge, and that's how Patrizio and the team developed the lateral power technology that we are bringing forth to market today. So, some curves, some graphs for you, but let me just jump to the answers. Let's take a look at 1,000 amps and sorry, yes?
How big is that market, the last inch market?
I'm sorry?
How big is the market for the last inch?
I'll go into some of that in just a second. Yeah, good question. But let's just jump to what the problem statement is with some numbers here. So let's just pick 1,000 amps, because that's a typical DC current for an AI processor. You can see here another equation. It's my last one, I promise. The other equation that we really love is that Power loss in a PDN network is I squared, the current squared, times the resistance. So now you have 1,000 amps squared. You get rid of that 10 minus 6 number on the other side, right? So now you're at 400 watts of power. Huge amount of power that's dissipated in the printed circuit board because of that PDN resistance. And your efficiency in the system drops to 50% because of that if you're driving an 800 watt processor, which is typical again.
How do you measure efficiency?
The efficiency is the loss in the circuit board, and it's the power loss, so it's I squared times resistance. So it's 1,000 times 1,000 times 400 times 10 to the minus 6. Comes out to 400 watts of power loss.
Bill, let's just make sure I'm clear on this.
Yeah. It's an impossible problem in many ways. Okay, so the rules of the game have changed. The PDN is now the limiting factor in system efficiency and performance. I've talked to many, many people that say, you know, how much more efficient is your PRM, VTM, factorized power solution than the multiphase? And we have those conversations. We used to have them, you know, with Intel CPUs, 94%, 96%. But when you get into this AI high current market, you could have 100% efficient regulator and still not be able to do this unless you can put that regulator right up next, right next to the AI processor that you're driving to get that PDN 400 microohms cut by an order of magnitude. Okay, so it's all about density now. Can you get your regulator, your current delivery mechanism, right next to the processor? That's what it's all about now. And we're the only power module company by far that can do this, and I mean by far. Significant advantage in the marketplace. So this disruptive technology that we have is allowing us to win many, many sockets now in the AI market space, both at the GPU level, the ASIC level, and now at the FPGA level, because of these currents, because of the PDN. Okay. And there are many solutions. You can come at it from two sides, which a lot of our customers are. You can even come at it from three sides. But the problem with three-sided or four-sided delivery is you're not really leaving a lot of room for the high bandwidth, high-speed I/O that the processor needs to get in and out. Okay, that's a problem there. So when you get up in even higher currents, even sometimes the lateral power delivery is not enough. But just look at the performance. As Priti said, you can't do it on the right-hand side, but look at what we did with the lateral power delivery. Look at the efficiency gain and the loss improvement just by moving laterally and getting close to within 50 microohms, right, of that processor. And I've given two examples here. I've cut the current back a bit to say, okay, let's give the other guys a chance, 500 amps. But it's really not 500 amps. It's really 1,000. But I, you know, give them a chance. Let's be fair. But they just can't compete. They don't have solutions. So we had other customers that come to us who are really pushing the edge of performance and say, that 50 microohms, that might be too much for us. We really need to get closer. So again, Patrizio, back to the drawing board, developed this thing called vertical power delivery, where we're now placing the current multiplier right up underneath the processor, getting pretty much as close as you can possibly get unless you attach it physically to the silicon, which we have a customer actually talking to us about that now. So you know, they want to get so close because of this PDN. It drives the performance when you reduce it of the processor. It spends so much money on AI and the processor technology. You don't want to lose performance in some resistance on the circuit board. Okay.
Question
yes.
On that technology, is that kind of like a research project at this point, or is it a proven technology that actually could be used in production?
We're delivering first evaluation samples to customers in September, but we've already got proof of life of this in our labs with a demonstration vehicle that we showed to one of our big leading hyperscale guys a few weeks ago. So it's working, looks good.
Looks like it could be a pretty awesome technology.
Yes, yes, sir.
The production up to this point is
Yeah. Okay, but let's just take a look at the chart I showed you earlier now with the vertical power delivery. We're now down to 5 microohms. Okay, so just look at the performance here and the efficiency gains over what the competition, if they could even do it, is offering. Okay, it's so far ahead. It's crazy. And as a sales guy, I can tell you I love going into customers with this technology. They're amazing meetings because we are solving huge problems for these engineers who are giving the task of how do you power this AI processor and how do you get the performance out of it. We walk in with a solution. It's fantastic. So what does that mean? So there are lots of numbers out there about the size of this AI market. So I took a sort of a medium sort of position. And so in 2023, the AI processor chip market, so the AI chip market is about $60 billion. And out of that, about $15 billion of that will go to data center for deep learning, machine learning. So this is the heavy, heavy lifting, if you like, of AI. And about 10% of that is about the power SAM for Vicor. So it's about $1.5 billion, roughly, okay, in about the 2023 timeframe for this technology. Okay, so we're aiming at a very large market. It's growing very fast. And right now, we're the only game in town, okay, for this marketplace. I'm also pleased to say that our Google relationship is strong and it's growing. It's grown over many years now. And that we're now moving from their cloud computing into more of powering their AI processes that they're developing with their ASIC team. So this has been a great success story for Vicor, and they keep coming back and pushing us and challenging us to solve tougher and tougher problems. And so this relationship is fantastic and will continue to expand, by the way. Contrary to the claims of some companies out there and some CEOs and CFOs that are going around the community and talking about a demise at NVIDIA, nothing can be further from the truth. So not only are we shipping right now the SXM3 technology and HGX and DGX2, but we're actively engaged on the next generation program where our silicon content, if you like, or our power module content is going up. We're displacing the multiphase you can see on the SXM3 card with a DC-DC converter. It's a two-stage DCM, and that will drive the HBM memory that you can see in the processor there. Okay, so not only are we not getting kicked out of NVIDIA, we're increasing our position. Okay, and we're also talking about the next program as well. Okay. HPC is a fabulous market for Vicor. And Cray has recently secured several big contracts. They, of course, have been recently purchased by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Corporation for very good reason in that they have amazing technology and demonstrated by their ability to win these contracts over HP and over IBM. In these types of systems, density, and performance, that's really what this is all about. This rack power is 80 kilowatts for one of those boxes that you see there. Well, we have 380-volt distribution. We then have 48-volt down to load, and we're powering CPUs and we're powering GPUs. The Vicor content in this system is enormous, both at the front end and at the point of load. And again, this is one customer that is using us from the source to the point of load, the whole shooting match. Okay, great customer, great company. A major change that recently occurred, and I was so excited when I saw this. Open Compute has been stuck at 12 volts for so long. I mean, they're supporting their hyperscaler guys who like to stay at 12 volts. But we recently saw, because of the AI activity in the marketplace, they recognized that they needed to do something different. And also they needed something that wasn't just NVIDIA-based. So that SXM card that I talked to you about before, they needed an open platform version of that so that hyperscalers could pick up that AI card and deploy it, okay, in their data centers. So what you can see on the left is what the SXM card actually looks like when you put its heatsink on top. It's a little bit deceiving, but that's a big heatsink on top of the card. But there's a lot of Vicor content inside those cards. So our way to the hyperscalers now is not just to sell to them directly, But to go in like a Trojan horse type of strategy where we're inside a module that's being built and delivered by. So by getting the 48 volt designs on their accelerator cards, they build these cards and they sell them in full systems like the HGX box, or they'll sell them as individual cards for the hyperscalers to build with their CMs in Taiwan. Okay. So this is a really great thing that just happened in the marketplace, and we are really well entrenched here with our lateral power delivery at the present time. Okay. So this is fantastic.
Sorry, when did you say it goes into production?
Oh, this will be in production later this year and all through next year. This will really ramp next year. So here you see we started 10 years or so ago with IBM, first 48-volt system, if you like. We then brought on Google. IBM sort of fell away in terms of business for us, but Google became a very important customer, has been growing over the years. We picked up big HPC customer, just talked about them. We then picked up NVIDIA. 48 volt lateral power delivery for all the reasons of PDN that I've just shared with you. We've just recently picked up two new GPU customers. I've shown you some examples of that. And the activity is just growing. Recently, we've got over 12 new design wins with ASIC and GPU and ASIC and FPGA companies. And again, it's coming back to the very simple but very complex problem that they are facing with this current delivery into their AI processors. That's the reason we're being chosen. It's very clear why we differentiate ourselves, right? So this is an accelerating market for us, and we have significant share at this point in time. And I can see us keeping it for a long time. So our performance is now expanding. We're not standing still, okay? We're keeping this going. We're advancing our architectures, we're advancing the topologies, and our Generation 4 modules will be launched on the market later this year and into next year. And these give us even further distance, if you like, between our competitors. Here you see over time the point of load current density. In point of load, current density is it as the specification. You can see here we started back in 2012 at 0.8 amps per millimeter squared. Generation 4 will take that up to 2 amps per millimeter squared. Our competition is still back at where we were in 2012. So point of load current density, and then front end power systems, we're also bringing Generation 4 through. Look at the number here. Generation 4 gets us to 10 kilowatts per inch cube.
Some very specialized
I'm just about to say for the you're right, for the MBM, which is a 800 to 400 volt converter that we are aiming at the automotive market for fast charging. Okay, we have two or three companies that we're working with on this right now. As Patricio said, this is focused 10 kilowatt per cubic inches for that MBM product, but we will have, you know, significant advances on bus converters and also on our AC-DC, and I'll show you that in just a second. Okay, so we're keeping ahead of the competition by constantly innovating, both on architectures, topologies, silicon, packaging, the whole thing. So let's just talk about automotive. I just mentioned it there about the fast charging. 9 months ago, we decided that we wanted to move into the automotive market. We'd looked at this market several times over past years. But with the move happening in automotive to 48 volts, and all of the reasons I talked about PDN and power distribution networks, performance going up, features coming in, it's a perfect market for us and for our technology. And over the last 9 months, we've been visiting pretty much every car company in the world and every tier one in the world and pitching what Vicor can do. The reaction has been amazing. In the next three months, we'll have six major car companies coming through our building in Andover for discussions on product development. They're faced with the same challenges, their PDN network. They need density, they need efficiency, they need low weight because of carbon emissions. They've got to bring that down. So the opportunity for us in powertrain, which is an area we're going to focus on, that was the feedback we got on this tour that we did over the last 9 months. It's about $2 billion in about 5 years. The AI piece, which of course, these are basically data centers on wheels. This is pretty much what this market is emerging into. About $500 million, roughly, of available market for us. And as I mentioned, in mild hybrids, where the 48-volt battery is being used, we're going after 12-volt legacy systems, new loads at 48 volts, and also then the sub-1 volt for the ADAS systems, okay, for the processors, the AI processors there. And again, this is all about reducing weight, reducing size, improving efficiency, and easing the 48-volt distribution challenge for the engineer. In EV, 800 volts for charging for the 400-volt battery, and then delivery of 800 volts and 400 volts to 48, so the 48 can be distributed again, easing the PDN network within an electric vehicle. This is another big area of focus for us, as well as the ADAS system, of course, within a pure electric car. Okay. So overall, we see this as an opportunity by 2025, because the automotive market, you know, takes a little bit of time. We see setting a revenue target for ourselves of about $250 million in 2025, roughly so. But that's our target internally as a team. We expect to start production, by the way, in 2023 with some customers, towards the end of 2023. New introduction, we are moving into the satellite market. We have recent engagement with a large satellite corporation here in the United States, looking to develop fault-tolerant products. There's a big market there that's emerging with constellation satellites. This solution will now be brought forward later this year and early next year to companies that are working in that constellation satellite business. Again, low weight, very dense, very efficient, easy to use, modular power. Okay, significant advantage in this particular marketplace. And we see this as about a $200 million available market.
And low noise.
And low noise, yes, absolutely. Very good market for us. I mean, the whole defense aerospace market's an important market for Vicor, and this is one of them. So let's just touch very quickly on front end and central power solutions. This is about a $3 billion market opportunity. The AC-DC market is about four times bigger than the DC-DC market overall, but we've narrowed it down to the area that we want to focus on, which is about $3 billion. And it's really where companies, again, in rack situations, in rack power, power's going up so far they have to do liquid cooling. They're using advanced liquid cooling schemes, either moving liquid through the rack or they're actually immersing the electronics completely in a bath of liquid called Fluorinox. Many companies now doing that, okay, to cool the system. And they're looking for a modular AC to DC three-phase converter, something that can be easily mounted on a cold plate instead of the big silver boxes that you see with fans in the back of them, right? They're big and large and bulky, and they use air cooling. They don't really cut it in a lot of these systems. So we introduced the what we call the power tablet, which was based on our Generation 2 technology, 10 kilowatts in about the size of an Apple iPad footprint. But here comes Gen 4, and we're going to be introducing later this year a chip version, which is 6 kilowatts, but that fits in an iPhone footprint. Okay, so these are, again, meeting the density needs and cooling needs of very high performance servers and racks in the new AI data center space. It's a whole new space for us to really push into. So Vicor is moving from high mix, low volume to low mix, high volume. We expect our advanced product revenue to start exceeding our legacy brick products, probably around the mid to third quarter of next year. And we have a highly leveraged, really, go-to-market infrastructure because it's very scalable. The way that we have the power modules manufactured at our factory in the panels and so forth, it's an incredibly scalable, high volume, very high quality manufacturing capability. And as Patrizio has talked on many times on the quarterly updates, he has a plan with our team here to advance the factory, install new capacity that's already been done, add an addition, and then look for an additional facility somewhere in the next couple of years. So that's our plan, and I think Patrizio's talked about that quite extensively. So our long-term financial model, wanted to show you something here in terms of what our targets are. So Gross margin line, we're looking for very healthy gross margins as we bring our advanced products through to market. We're solving very difficult, very challenging products, so customers really value our technology and value our products. And as you can see here, this shows the split of 80-20 between advanced products and brick products. And I think this financial model will really set Vicor apart in the power industry. And long term, 3 to 5 years, our goal is to be a billion-dollar company. That's what we want to be. Okay. And we have the opportunity, the markets ahead of us, I believe, to be able to do that. So in summary, we have superior patented architectures and topologies, packaging. I think that's being clearly demonstrated here this morning. Our customers see that every day. Generation 4 that's coming through, that just increases our competitive advantage in the marketplace. We have a growing share of business, you know, in the data center market, in high performance compute and GPU customers on their next generation platforms, as I've talked about. And right now we have greater than 80% share of 48 volt high performance GPU and ASIC silicon vendors out there in the marketplace. Currently, we have a $400 million automotive opportunity pipeline that we've built in just 9 months. I mean, the reaction there has been quite amazing. It's been a lot faster than the data center journey that we've been on, that's for sure. But it'll take some time to gestate and turn into volume, but it'll be a great market for Vicor. And we have significant operating leverage, as we talked about, resting really on a fundamental focus of constant innovation that Patrizio brings to the company. And I think it's a wonderful story. The customers are really moving towards it, and I see it every day. It's a great to be able to walk out and sell technology like this out in the marketplace. Okay, so thank you. Yeah.